Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Of the four ballot questions that Massachusetts voters will vote on in less than 2 weeks, question three is perhaps the most contentious with the most at stake. It will decide whether or not to repeal the state's gaming law and keep casino gambling out of Massachusetts.
A yes vote on question three means yes to repeal and no to casinos. A no vote would uphold the state's gaming law and allow plans to license and build four casinos and one slot parlor in Massachusetts to move forward.
The debate pits those who say casinos will bring much-needed jobs to the Commonwealth against those who say legalized gambling brings crime, addiction, and hurts local businesses. So we're going to dive into the debate over question three right now.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you favor repeal of the state's casino law, or do you want to see casinos in Massachusetts come to Massachusetts, and do you think the law should stay in place? Call us with any questions you have about question three. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook or Twitter at Radio Boston.
In a moment, the arguments for and against repeal. But first, WBUR's Jack Lepiarz, who's been all over this story like a cheap suit. Thanks for being here, Jack.
Good to have you. Cheap suit.
That's an expression. It just means you cover it tightly. You're all over it. Jack, give us a brief history, first of all, of how we got here. What precedes question three?
Yeah, well, so the governor, when he came into office, made casino gambling a big part of his legislative agenda. So in 2008, the House of Representatives, State House of Representatives, voted down casinos by about 100 vote margin. That was under then House Speaker Sal DeMasi. Later, House Speaker Robert DeLeo came in, and they passed a casino law in 2010. That would have approved three casinos and slot parlor licenses for racetracks. The governor vetoed that measure. He said that essentially amounted to no-bid contracts on those slot parlor licenses. Finally, they came to a conclusion, a compromise in 2011. Three casinos, one slot parlor license. That's where we are now.
Okay. So tell us, remind us how far down the road we are right now in terms of how many casinos, slot parlors, where we stand right now.
Well, we're pretty far down the road. They've awarded the slot parlor license to Plain Ridge Racecourse down in Plainville. They've awarded the Western Massachusetts Casino to MGM Resorts. And, of course, the Eastern Massachusetts Casino, Region A, to Wynn Resorts. There's still Region C. That needs to be settled. Right now, the only major bid down there is the Wampanoag Tribe in Taunton, but there are still some questions as to whether they're going to be able to take federal land into trust. So for the most part, all of these those three, the slot parlor and the two casinos, are set. Construction on Plainville is already underway. It's set to open in June.
All right. Jack Lepiarz, stand by, because I want to introduce a couple more people into this conversation. John Ribeiro, he's the chairman of the anti-casino group, Repeal the Casino Deal. He's in the studio now. Thanks for coming in, John. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me today.
And with us by phone from Plainville, Mass., is Joe Fernandez. He's the town administrator and a supporter of the Pro-Casino Group, the Coalition to Protect Mass Jobs. And we should point out, as Jack mentioned, that construction is almost finished in Plainville on a $225 million slot parlor set to open in June. Joe Fernandez, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
And Joe, let me start with you by asking, just tell me why you think voters should vote no on question three.
Well, let's start with why voters voted yes here in Plainville. We've hosted Plain Ridge Racecourse since 1998. There have been no adverse experiences. We viewed this as one more opportunity to expand their venue, and under the legislation, host community for a proposed casino, or in our case, slot facility, has to vote to support that host community agreement. And in Plainville's case, we voted 76% to support it. Clearly, there are benefits to Plainville by virtue of that host community agreement that was negotiated. But to your point, or to your question, why should people beyond the boundaries of Plainville, Everett, or Springfield vote for this? The reality is that it does mean 10,000 jobs. It does mean $400 million to the Commonwealth. It does mean a recapture of close to $1 billion that currently is spent by Massachusetts residents in Connecticut and Rhode Island. So I think there's benefits certainly beyond simply the borders of the host communities.
And what would it mean for Plainville if the slot parlor doesn't open? I mean, let's say question three is approved, the gaming law is repealed. What would that mean for Plainville?
Well, under the host community agreement, we get a total of $4.3 million per year. There are little costs in terms of municipal costs associated with it because the facility has its own security force augmented by a 10-member force of state police and local police, which is all paid for by the facility. They also will have fire details on scene. So for Plainville, there's quite a bit on the upside and relatively little on the downside. Mm-hmm. The facility is located right at 495 and 1. It's pretty much an off-ramp in and an off-ramp on.
All right, let's go to John Ribeiro, chairman of the repeal, the casino deal. That would be yes on question three. It's confusing, John, of course, because yes on question three means no to casinos, so I just want to keep pointing this out to listeners. But your pitch, we just heard Joe Fernandez there talking about jobs, money not going to Connecticut, so on and so forth.
Well, the town of Plainville conducted a study on what the impacts might be, and what they found was that compulsive gambling and pathological gambling would go up 1 to 2%. And what that means for the entire state of Massachusetts is you're talking to 60,000 to 70,000 people that it's going to increase by. So you already have some compulsive gamblers in the state that people say are going down in Connecticut, but we're going to have additional ones because of the advent of casinos. And there's a direct cost that's associated with those. And, you know, just to back up a bit, the way you mentioned how the law came into being, Speaker DeLeo, you know, came into power, we learned this summer, as a result of a trial of John O'Brien by trading votes for jobs. And so, you know, the casino culture of corruption has already invaded Beacon Hill, and we're seeing even more of that as this thing is rolled out.
Well, Joe Fernandez, respond to that, because that's one of the things that you're going to hear, one of the knocks on the whole idea of legalized gambling, is this potential of what John referred to as a culture of corruption.
Well, any time there is money on the table, there clearly are temptations, and some submit to that temptation. You know, you can say the same of literally any industry. And what John is talking about, in many cases, is speculation and if you will, building upon certain fears. What I'm talking about is what I can point to on the ground. We do have currently 500 people working on at good union paying jobs a $225 million development project.
Ready to open in June.
They hope to be tight to the weather within a few weeks and then start working on the inside such that they will be open in June.
So, John Ribeiro, speak to that issue. I mean, that issue of jobs in Plainville, jobs across the state, and this idea that, you know, this is a project that's ready to open.
You know,
ready to open soon, I should say.
The owner or the developer of the Plain Ridge, hopefully casino on their part, said about a year ago that the Northeast was saturated with casinos. You know, we have supposedly three or four going to be opening up here in Massachusetts. New York has licensed or is planning to license an additional seven. We're seeing layoffs happen in Connecticut, casinos that are right over our borders. And, of course, the prime example is Atlantic City, where four or five casinos are going to close. So, sure, we have construction jobs. We need construction jobs. But if you go almost anywhere in the state, you see plenty of cranes that are working today, and we can build a lot of other things here in Massachusetts, and we should. We should build off of the economy that's gotten us here. Casinos are coming here to leech off the good economy that still remains here in Massachusetts and has been emerging from the recession better than any other state in the country.
You know, if I could answer.
Please, go ahead, Joe.
I agree with part of what John is saying. We should be building on what we already have demonstrated as a successful economic game plan. But these aren't mutually exclusive. There's nothing that suggests that we can pursue gaming employment while still pursuing high tech or bioscience. Again, I think they run hand in hand. There's a huge unemployment issue in Massachusetts. Plainville, when this whole issue first came to the fore, had a 9% unemployment rate. The job center that opened up a little more than 2 weeks ago for 500 jobs, which are clearly in jeopardy by virtue of this ballot question. For those 500 jobs in jeopardy, Plain Ridge has already seen 3,000 applicants. They had a job fair last week. 500 people showed up.
Well, let me ask John Ribeiro a question off the back of that, Joe Fernandez, and that is this, John. I mean, if Plainville wants this, and if the casino law essentially allows host communities to vote up or down on this, what's the problem with that?
Well, you know, in the law, it enumerates all the potential problems that are going to come along with this. No, there's no definitive study that says that this is what's going to happen. But when you look at the evidence around the country, crime does go up, property values go down, and small businesses are negatively impacted. Those problems aren't relegated to the boundaries of a community that voted on it. The people in Foxborough don't have a say. The people in Walpole don't have a say. The people around the other proposed casino sites don't have a say and weren't asked whether they were going to be able to want to have a casino in their midst. And that's what question three does. It allows everybody in the state to decide whether to bring the casino culture to Massachusetts or not.
All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls. We've actually got a lot of listeners on the line. Listeners, we're talking about the debate over question three. That's the question that you all will be voting on a week from Tuesday, whether or not to repeal the state casino law. Let's go to Gene, who's calling from Worcester. Gene, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. You know, if you go to any one of the three major casinos, Twin Rivers, Foxwoods, or Mohican Sun, and just drive through the parking lots and the garage, the predominant number of cars have Massachusetts plates. That's money that's leaving the state. And if you're buying lottery tickets, you're gambling. And if gambler is going to gamble, and it's not for us to be the morality judges.
All right, Gene. Very clearly expressed there. Let's take another call. Let's go to Dave, who's calling from Brookline. Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think we, number one, based on the lottery statement the last woman made, I know you're all aware, I'm sure, that Massachusetts is by far the number one per capita spent on lottery in the United States, almost double that of the second. So we certainly have a gambling problem. But I think the issue here that keeps getting overlooked is, you know, we're living in the past. With casinos, you're not seeing prostitution and crime and drugs and all this kind of stuff you think of in Vegas from the past. Put onto the areas around Foxwoods or Twin Rivers or Mohegan Sun. There's none of that going on to a greater extent. The issue here is it's a tax on the poor. How many people are going to be gambling away their paychecks only to need more assistance by the state? The tax revenue that they're talking about is tax revenue from people that are getting the tax revenue back to them who are in need. And that's what's going to happen, and that's what nobody seems to be talking about. They talk about crime and prostitution. Come on. That's
all right.
Already in Boston. You can find it.
No, Dave, you put a good point on the table. Let me get our guest to respond to this. John, I want to start with you. The previous caller talked about, you know, go to the casinos in Connecticut. They're full of Massachusetts plates. Folks are going to gamble anyway. It's not up to the government to sort of be the morality judge here.
You know, we're not going to recover all that money that's going into Connecticut. We can't stop people from gambling. No one's asking people to stop people from gambling. What the proponents say is that the state's going to get $400 million in revenue. Well, at the same time, the people of Massachusetts and who have come to Massachusetts are going to have to lose about $2 billion in order to make that happen. Okay, that's money that's already being spent and being put to work in this economy. And oh, by the way, the casino developers are going to take out of state almost 1.5 to 2 times that amount. So it's a big wet kiss on the lips to Steve Wynn and the other casino developers that the legislature put in place to give that money away to them and not to recover back here in the state.
Hmm. And Joe Fernandez, respond to our caller Dave, who talked about legal gambling as being a tax on the poor. This is a point that folks who are opposed to legalized gambling make often. What do you say to him?
Well, it's a legitimate concern, and so is a concern that those same folks should be more prudent, perhaps, with the way they spend their other discretionary money, whether it's, you know, going to movies or going to a Patriots game, none of which give them, if you will, a tangible asset in exchange. It's a form of entertainment. You know, the gaming industry is larger than the movie industry. Yet, you know, Massachusetts takes great pains to try to entice, be it a Matt Damon or Ben Affleck, with both tax credits and the closing of streets and city neighborhoods to attract that type of entertainment. in this case, we have people in the form of MGM or Wynn, or in this case, Penn, paying for the privilege. Penn paid a $25 million license fee. MGM and Mr. Wynn, if in fact this question is defeated, will pay $100 million for the privilege. So on the one hand, we're trying to entice entertainment by giving them credits. And on the other hand, we're scourging people who are prepared to pay $100 million for the privilege of opening a business.
Jack Lepiers, I'd love to bring you back into this. You've been doing some great reporting on this. Break down a little bit the kind of money that has been spent on these two campaigns on question three.
Well, the money, and forgive me for this, John, the money, I mean, if you look at the finances, the expenditures, money raised, there's not much of a contest. Between October 2nd and October 15th, repeal the casino deal, the casino opponents raised about $125,000. They spent $122,000 of that. So $125,000 raised by casino opponents. The pro-casino group, Coalition to Protect Mass Jobs, raised $4.5 million, that from MGM, Penn National, and Wynn. It spent about $3.25 million of that.
So, John Ribeiro, I mean, obviously outgunned here in terms of the money. What does that tell you? What's your response to that?
I'd say we have them exactly where we want them. If you look at Milford and Palmer and East Boston, in places we were outspent almost 100-1, we still prevailed.
Yeah.
The casino message resonates and cuts through all this hype that they're trying to put around it. Just very quickly, you know, around the casino folks never talk about what their business model is. You know, you talk about entertainment. All these folks are welcome to keep their buildings and put on live shows and entertain people around the state if casinos are repealed. Just they can't have gambling in them. And, you know, what this law allowed is for the casino folks to give out loans directly to people, to check their personal credit history and give out loans directly to people. You might be able to lose your paycheck on scratch tickets, but at a slot machine, you can lose your house. And the legislature is allowing that to happen.
Joe Fernandez, let me raise another question that I know John Ribeiro has raised. He hasn't raised it today, but you hear it from the opponents. And that is the argument that nothing new gets built as a result of a casino. Since you've mentioned you're almost done with construction in Plainville, can you tell us if there are any new developments in the works, in addition to the slot parlor that is slated to be opened in June?
As is directly related to the Penn facility, no, but it hasn't. It hasn't reached fruition. We have, in the case of Penn, they've developed cross-marketing agreements with 62 different local businesses, everything from hotels to restaurants, such that if you earn rewards points, those are redeemable at 62 other facilities beyond their borders. That type of environment, that level of excitement in terms of what's available to a business person is what has encourage and entice the state chamber of commerce and our local chamber of commerce in fully supporting defeat of question three, and I think, you know, there speaks the real proof of the pudding when you have an organization that represents the business community and they're supporting it. I think that speaks volumes.
John Ribeiro.
You know, what choice do these businesses have? The way this program works is that if you go into a local restaurant, the points that you earn there are also good at the casinos. So all of these local businesses will be advertising for their main competitor at the casinos that can give out, you know, reduced price meals and free alcohol. And when you look at what's happened around the casino sites around the country, they really become economic black holes. Nothing new gets built around them. And Connecticut is a prime example where there had been a thriving industry that was lost after the casinos came in.
Well, Election Day, less than 2 weeks away. It'll be up to the voters of Massachusetts on question three. We've been talking to John Ribeiro. He's chairman of the Repeal the Casino Deal Coalition. John Ribeiro, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Joe Fernandez is a Plainville town manager and a supporter of the Coalition to Protect Mass Jobs. Joe Fernandez, thank you as well.
Thank you.
And WBUR's Jack Lepiarz, who's been covering the casino story for months now, or I should say, it feels like years, Jack. Good to have you. Thanks for being in.
You're welcome.
And for a link to Jack's casino reporting, you can find that at radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, the Boston Book Festival and the One City, One Story. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.